Superman and Superman. Now, if you say circus, it can mean lots of different things to different people. For me, the very first time I saw a three-ring circus as a child was when my friend took me for her birthday. It was her birthday present, but I got to see a three-ring circus, which I'd never seen before in my life. Then there was always Billy Smart's circus, wasn't there, on a Christmas Eve on the telly. And obviously then circus changed quite dramatically, you know, and now we've got the likes of Gifford Circus, which is just a delight in a very different way and very magical and sort of has a vintage vibe to it. There's hardly any animals, but loads and loads of talent and music and creativity from the acrobats and the like. Then you've got Cirque du Soleil. Wowzers. All of these things, part of an art form with a very rich history, really, for many artists and performers. The tricks of the trade, though, passed down through the generations. In fact, this month, there's a significant anniversary in the Big Top. In February of 1879, listen up to this because it's going to blow your mind. In February 1879, there was a diminutive aerialist who made her debut in London. Now, she went by the name of Miss Lala, and the highlight of her act was to hang from the trapeze by her knees while supporting a cast iron cannon suspended from a mouthpiece firmly clamped in her jaws. Then a match was applied and the cannon actually fired while she was still holding it in her teeth. What is significant even more about this act, perhaps in addition to her extraordinary cannon stunt, is that Miss Lala was one of the many black and ethnic minority performers appearing in the Victorian circus. It's got a huge multicultural history. Just one of the stories then brought to light by Gloucester-born author Steve Ward in his new book, Artists of Colour, Ethnic Diversity and Representation in the Victoria Circus. Hello, good morning to you, Steve.
Yeah, good morning, Anna. Thank you for inviting me on.
To the respect of Miss Lala, I wish I could have interviewed her as well. What a woman. I mean, that must have been quite the sight to behold, surely.
Yeah, I believe she was quite a tough cookie in herself. She was only about 5 foot tall and very, very muscular and well built. A bit of a fiery temper, apparently, as well.
Yeah, nobody was going to argue with her, for sure. Yeah. So what took you to starting to look at, you know, what I think has perhaps been overlooked for so long, the huge multicultural history of circus?
Well, I've had an interest in circus right back to when I, like yourself, when I was a child in Gloucester. And my first involvement, I was taken as a birthday present to Billy Smart Circus.
Yes.
And halfway through the performance, on came a clown, brilliant red hair and bright, loud checked clothes. And halfway through his performance, he marched over to the ringside and plucked me out of my seat. It had all been arranged. I didn't know. Took me to the centre of the circus. I was terrified. Probably wet myself, if I remember right. And he started his show with me. And it only took me a few seconds to realise that, hang on, all the people out there, they were laughing at me. All the people out there were applauding me. They weren't, never mind this guy next to me. And I got hooked on circus there. And I've had a sort of checkered history working my way through. I trained in theatre and clowning, drifted into teaching, started bringing circuses together with education and youth services, ran my own youth circus for many, many years. And as I've got older and my body tells me I can't physically do it anymore, I started doing researching into the fascinating history. And as I did so, it became quite clear that there were a lot of black and ethnic minority performers in the circus, particularly during the 19th century and Victorian period, that have been shunted to the margins of history. And they needed to be recognised for their contribution and brought back into the central history of the circus, and hence the book.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, February of this month of this year actually marks anniversary for several of the performers that you highlight. Spinning back to 1849, the Indian juggler and the tale unfolding about that. Can you tell me more about it?
Ramasamy was an Indian juggler, not a juggler in the terms we think today, throwing balls around, although he did. He also did things like sword swallowing and illusion and a bit of magic. And one of his acts, the finale of his act, was to a bit of sword swallowing. But he had a son called Thomas Ramasamy, who followed in his father's footsteps. But unfortunately, while demonstrating his sword-swallowing skills to his friends, he punctured the sac surrounding his heart. Ooh. And sadly died.
No. Oh, my goodness. What an end to something that he'd been so good at for so long. And in front of his friends as well. That must have been traumatising.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, there are some fascinating characters, and some of them actually visited Gloucester, strangely enough. One of the earlier records of circus in Gloucester is 1839. There was Ryan's Olympic Circus, which I quote, was set up on the bowling green adjoining the Albion Hotel on Southgate Street. I believe that's now called Albion House, its offices.
Yes, there's no room for a circus there now, I don't think.
Not at all.
Wow.
But apparently it was erected there. He erected an amphitheatre. It was there for several years, and Ryan used it over the years. But one of the characters who appeared there in the 1840s was a coloured man called Carlos Pablo Paddington. Strange name. Don't know what his original name was. I don't think anybody ever knows. But he performed an aerial act on what was then called the corde volante, which, if you imagine a length of rope fixed at either end to the ceiling, so that it forms a loop, and he would perform a swinging rope act on that. And now, what is interesting about Pablo Paddington is that it came to light in a news report that he may well have been a woman, masquerading as a man for whatever reason, we don't know.
Possibly so she could get to do what she was doing. Maybe they wouldn't.
Well,
I don't know. Would that have been possible if she was performing as a woman? I wonder.
That is one distinct possibility. Nobody will ever know for sure. It is reputed that Pablo Paddington had an affair with a Miss King who was working with Cook Circus at the time. So whether Pablo Paddington was transgender, I have no idea. But there is one theory. And another theory is the fact that this was rumour spread about by rivals to damage his reputation.
But, well, because there were a lot of circuses, that's the thing at the time, wasn't it? There was, you know, there were lots of these smaller affairs that would travel round the country. And presumably they were all vying for an audience then.
Yeah, I mean, during the Victorian period, circus burgeoned from sort of the early days when it was just basically equestrian performances in the late 18th century. Suddenly, in a very short space of time, you had acrobats, you had aerialists, you had wire walkers, you had clowns, you had strong acts like Miss Lala, excuse me. And you're quite right, there were many, many circuses. It was one of the most popular forms of entertainment of the period. And as these groups traveled around, yeah, there was rivalry. And certainly they did. I mean, if I've got some notes here, I mean, Ryan's Circus certainly visited Gloucester during that sort of 1840s, but so also did Price and Powell's Circus, Hughes's Circus, White's Circus, Cook's Circus. They were all there, and they had different places in Gloucester. I mean, Cook's Circus appeared in Worcester Street, not sure exactly where, but they had an amphitheatre there. Hughes's Circus appeared at the cattle market, the original cattle
yes.
market, built in the 1840s, which is where the bus station now is. Womwell's Menagerie, which also had elements of circus attached to it, because very often lion tamers, or entertainers with big cats, not just lions, would appear with many, many menageries. And there are a whole host of sort of black lion tamers in that period. In fact, if you look at the trade paper, the era where circus proprietors advertised for acts, very often you would see wanted lion tamer, black man preferred. And it was all to do with this image of the exotic image they wanted to try and create. And they associated with black with exotic at that time. So they were exploiting if you like that particular person's colour, to line their coffers.
Yes, yes. I mean, and it's all that complications, isn't it? But then it's work, and it's, you know, it's all those things that were sort of highlighted, I suppose, a bit in The Greatest Showman, for example. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more because we want to hear about the Chinese acrobats and George Christoph, the African rope dancer, too. Okay, we're talking about the rich and varied history of circus. and particularly from the diversity, you know, the ethnic diversity and different cultures that all came together in circus in Victorian times. It's been written by Gloucester-born author Steve Ward. It's called Artists of Colour, Ethnic Diversity and Representation in the Victorian Circus. And Steve has been doing a lot of research. What I found, one of the things I found interesting about some of the real characters that were part of this is how many of those are sort of celebrating anniversaries or marking anniversaries in February 2021, Steve. Tell us about Tuck Key.
Yes, Tuck Key was one of the first leaders of the Chinese group that performed in Britain, going back to just before Victoria, in fact. And he came over with several members of the group. One of the most famous acts that he was famous for was called the Impaling Act, which sounds absolutely terrifying.
But terrified already. Go on.
But when it's explained, it becomes self-evident. It started off where he had his young teenage daughter standing against a board, and she would basically spread her arms wide and her fingers wide, and he would hurl these very large knives at her, and it was basically a knife throwing act. But this absolutely amazed the audiences at the time, and it became very famous. And this act continued even when Tuck Key eventually left to go back home. Various other troops emerged, Chinese acrobats, who also took on this impaling act. There was one very famous case where there was a fallout between, there were three Chinese acrobats who did this impaling act, and there was a bit of a fallout between them, and one of them took the leader of the group to court. But the problem was that he was the target for the knife throwing. So I always wonder what happened when he took his employer to work.
Yes.
To court.
Yes, you think you don't want to fall out at any point, do you, on these sort of situations?
Did he actually survive? We don't know.
I don't know. Tuck Key and his Chinese acrobats were the first genuine group to appear in the UK from China, and that was in 1854. Just 2 years later, we had George, the African rope dancer.
Yes, George Christoph. Again, he was English born, like many of them were, actually. He was English born. His grandfather, as far as we can work out, was possibly a seaman, sailor from the African continent, who turned up on British shores and stayed and married and obviously had children. But George Christoph, the family name was actually Christopher, and they changed it to Christoph to make it sound perhaps
more exotic.
That's absolutely right. And George's father, who was called Christopher, so he changed it to Kit, but he went by the name of Signor Christoph. And certainly George and his brother, younger brother John, appeared with his father in the early days. George became very famous as a wire walker, a tightrope artist, not a high wire act, that came a little bit later, but he became very famous as a tightrope artist, and one of his fortes was to do backward somersaults on the rope. And you always think of a tightrope artist as being sort of supple and lithe, but from all accounts that I've read, George was a very hefty chap. He was like 14 stone and very, very bulky. But he seems to have accomplished this well. And he was around for many years and became one of the more famous wire walkers. He actually ran his own circus for a while when he was performing in Birmingham with Ducroft's circus. The circus failed and Ducroft left, and George Christoph took up the reins and ran it for several months. So he was one of the several black circus owners.
Yeah, bit of an entrepreneur at the time as well. So all this, you know, we've been missing, it feels like, all this history of the ethnic diversity of circus in these times. But did you find it hard to discover that information yourself, or is it there and it's just not been written down, you know, more clearly?
There are two factors. It's there if you dig deep enough. It took time. But very often what has happened is that it has been just simply overlooked. There is a perception of the circus being a very sort of white dominated art form, which is not entirely true, because there are still a lot of
loads of variety, absolutely. Yeah.
But it's this historical aspect, and I think it's all bound up with sort of Victorian attitudes to race and colour. And whilst these people were able to achieve a level of fame and recognition for some of them they never did. There were many workers in the circus who you never see mentioned by name. They were just referred to as a coloured circus worker or a coloured trapeze artist. That's what makes it difficult to pin these people down. And also, of course, you've got things like George Christoph, who went by the name of Herr Christoph, with a sort of this Germanic name, which is a bit misleading. Actually pinning down who they really were.
Yeah.
It's like Miss Lala. You know, Miss Lala was born Olga Brown.
I love Miss Lala. I think I'll love her forever. It's really interesting to speak to you and to hear some of the things that you found out, Steve. Steve Ward's book is called Artists of Colour, Ethnic Diversity and Representation in the Victorian Circus. It's out on the 22nd and it'll be available, from online book retailers and obviously bookshops as well, should you be interested to find out more.
The sound